Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, we're going to talk about developing a business strategy for identifying and establishing a competitive intelligence program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be listening to me for the next 25 minutes, but I guarantee it's going to be worth it. Anytime I use the words competitive intelligence, it kind of conjures up this idea of spies, secret agents, moles, covert operatives. Well, some of that's probably close to the truth, really, but it's not necessarily the norm. When you think about competitive intelligence as a business, you can need to think about how you implement a program that can help you get intelligence about your competitors so you can make strategic decisions. So think about it. Business strategy or covert operation? When you think about competitive intelligence, then, what kind of insights can you really get? Now, I've been working in using competitive intelligence for most of my career. And usually what we're trying to dig out is really understanding the dynamics in the market in which we're competing in and who's playing in those, looking at the target audience, the size of markets, shifts in competitive messaging. That's always important because you have to keep an eye and ear on what the competitors are saying about themselves, but also about you. Right, new and emerging market opportunities, messaging strategies, sales strategies, win-loss analysis. So that's just a few of the things when you really think about it. But if you need to keep in mind, what can you learn from your competitors? Because I guarantee you they're paying attention to you to try to figure out what they can learn from you. And not only can you learn about their successes, but you have to learn from their failures. Right? It's really important to understand, why did they fail? So if you're not paying attention to your competitors and understanding what's going on, and maybe you said, hey, look, at XYZ's entered a new marketplace, I think we're going to follow suit, and they're not successful, chances are you're not going to be successful as well. So one of the things I always look at is what constitutes competitive intelligence. And several years ago, I was asked by a bathroom brand, right, making toilets and sinks and faucets and things like that, to find out information about what products were being used here in Southern California at some new home developments. I could have spent time online and trying to figure things out, but what I did is actually put a team together, and we went out to the various models, and you could have found us, called a street team, you could have found us crawling around on the floor, our bodies and heads underneath the sinks, trying to figure out what the brand names were, getting model numbers and things like that. So we could really start to understand what products and services, what products were going into those. You know, once we figured out those, we could do some guesstimating on volume based on the number of homes, and ultimately coming out with a program that we could provide the people that hired us about understanding what the dollars were, what the units were, and the brands that they were competing against. Now, that's just a simple story that I considered a competitive intelligence program. Another one recently was a mystery shopping program. This was actually for a software company. We wanted to understand, as they were thinking about rolling out a new product in the CMS world, what other competitors that they really wanted to benchmark themselves against. So that was a little more difficult, but in setting up a competitive intelligence mystery shopping program, we established a business that could actually go out and have conversations that could utilize those products and services, and we were able to have detailed conversations about strategies and pricing and things like that. So we were able to gather a lot of information to determine, was it really even a market that my client wanted to get into? So if you think about what your clients are doing or what their needs are, you have to understand how to gather that information and what we should do. Now, I know a lot of times I start talking about this topic and I hear things like, yeah, great idea, we really like it, but we just don't have the resources to do it. So I encourage you to think again, because depending on the type of information you want to gather, a lot of it might not cost very much money. In fact, I encourage you that it starts internally. We have to start internally in establishing a competitive intelligence program. I love this quote. It's by Ursel Harrell. I think I'm saying that right. We do not deal with certainties. The world of intelligence is the world of probabilities. Getting the information is not usually the most difficult task. What is the difficult task is putting upon the right interpretation of that data. Analysis is everything. James Bond is not the real world. I hear a lot of times, and when I do market research, that we gather this information, but it's that interpretation, that's the analysis that goes in that really brings that information to life. And that is the really important part of it. And so keeping your eye on the competitors is so important in understanding what is going on. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the story and the case study about Blockbuster. In 1985, a guy named David Cook created Blockbuster and noticed that people were unhappy with the existing rental options. So he created this new concept store, and 10 years later, with hundreds of locations, they were purchased by Viacom for about $8.4 billion. Blockbuster had 48 million members. In 2006, 8,300 stores with a revenue of $5.5 billion. They were a success story, absolutely. Unfortunately, they were a little late in recognizing two other companies that were coming into the space. One you might have heard of called Netflix, the other one called Redbox. Now, if you remember Netflix in the early days, they were a mail-in service, right? They didn't have stores. You were able to buy their subscription service and get a DVD, and they would mail it to your house. Now, one of the interesting things that they did with their model based on a subscription fee is you were able to rent so many movies a month, and you could get your first movie, and you could keep it a day, 2 days, 10 days, didn't really matter. There were no late fees. On the flip side, Blockbuster generated a huge amount of their revenue based on late fees. As people started changing their desires and what was going on, they started eating into Blockbuster's revenue. Now, if you follow this case study, you know that in 2011, Blockbuster filed for bankruptcy. So they went from this behemoth owning the marketplace, and they basically went out of existence. At one point, or in early 2000s, I always find this interesting, is Blockbuster did a study of both Netflix and Redbox and decided at one point in time to pass on possible acquisition and focus on their current business. Now, if you go back in time and you really think about that, if they had acquired those brands at that point in time, they could have utilized that model, or frankly, they could have put it on the shelf and they would have owned that marketplace. So the point here is they didn't keep an eye on the marketplace and the brands that were coming in. And the disruptive brands, right, we talk a lot about disruption, that was going to have an impact on the marketplace. So combining your intelligence, your competitive intelligence program with your consumer insights is really a healthy strategy. So I get asked now, how do you set up a program? First, what I believe is you have to set up a person within the organization to take charge of it, right? We sit around, we have all these great ideas, but who's going to take control and who's going to run with it? Yes, you can use outside sources like myself, for example, but you really need to identify a specific individual that's going to lead the intelligence program in the process and establishing that process for collecting that information. We're going to talk about analyzing it in a minute, but it's about how do we collect that data. Collecting the information is the first step. Now, once again, I hear, well, that stuff's expensive. No, not really. Inexpensive sources. Google alerts, Google searches, RSS feeds, LinkedIn, Twitter, news releases, publication articles, advertising, media buys, white papers, case studies, social media monitoring, trade shows, conferences, on and on and on and on. There are so many places you can gather information for virtually free or little money. So, yes, there are a variety of subscription services you can use as well. LexisNexis, Factiva, Business Monitoring, Hoover's, Inside View, just to name a few. And, of course, near and dear to my heart, quantitative and qualitative research. But to start, establishing a program, identifying a person within your organization. So where do you start? First step, meet the stakeholders. Understand who is directly or indirectly affected by understanding the competition. So let's think about our program now. Is this mission impossible or mission improbable? Right? Let's put on our best Ethan Hunt, James Bond, Mitch Rapp, Jack Ryan, Sherlock Holmes, or Simon Templar. Many of you might not know who Simon Templar is, and start collecting business intelligence. Now, it is a process. I keep talking about that. It is a process. It needs to be well thought out. It is a strategy. I think I mentioned that when I first started this conversation. It is a strategy that you need to put in place. Now, and putting a plan, understanding how we're going to analyze that. The initial effort in collecting the data really needs to be established as a strategy to understand not only what we're going to, how we're going to gather that information, but what we're going to do with it once we get it. And that's really the important thing, is to make sure you're really thinking that strategy out, not just collecting a lot of information and not knowing what to do with it. Now, one of the things I always recommend is, how far back do we need to go? Now, I think this is kind of a step, because once that's done, we don't need to go back anymore. So is it 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, whatever you think the cycle is. And once you have that base of information that you've collected, then everything else is looking forward. So, and then the next thing I like to talk about is, how often? So how often should you go out into the marketplace and look at your competitors and start collecting that information, right? That's part of that strategy that I've been talking about. Is it daily? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? Is it every 6 months? Whatever it happens to be, you need to, again, set up that strategy and that plan to make it work. Now, regardless of how you collect your data, again, you must understand where the data comes from. One of the things I always talk about, especially if you're dealing with articles, from publications and you're citing research. I've seen this before. I read this article and 37% of the people said, the problem is you don't necessarily know where that information came from. You don't understand how it was collected. You don't understand the validity of it. So I encourage you, anytime you're using secondary research, that you have to understand where it came from. Because the last thing you want to do is be making predictions or decisions based on data that was collected poorly and it's misleading. So that's a really important aspect. Now, sometimes you may need to go out and do your own quantitative and qualitative research, and I'm not going to go off on that tangent. I had a great guest a few weeks ago, Jenny Dinnan. I encourage you to listen to that podcast. We talked a lot about qual and quant and the way to collect information. So during my years in the action sports industry, and I know you've heard me talk about that, you know, many of our clients traveled around the country, and I got to accompany them as we looked at intent and motivations and drivers and why kids in the action sports industry were making decisions. Then we did a lot of one-on-one interviews that allowed us to really dig in. And one of the other things we used to do was actually go to their homes and understand their behaviors, not just at the skate park, for example, but how they lived their life, what was in their closets, what was going on. And so again, this is just another example of doing a competitive study and understanding who they are wearing, what was going on, why they made the decisions to purchase those. And again, that gives you a unique perspective on why they're making these decisions. So again, just another example of how to collect and utilize this information. Now, the big thing, of course, with any research, whether it's quantitative, or competitive, is deriving action from it, right? So you have a great depository of information, but what are you going to do with it? And that's the important thing. If you don't have that plan on what you're going to do, then you're in trouble. So as I stated earlier, when you develop and establish your process, collecting the data and the methodologies, and need to understand the approach to have something to do with that. Now, if you do this at the beginning of the program, you won't have any surprises at the end. So by the time you get there, you know what's going on. And in my opinion, the analysis phase is so important in making sure that you're delivering strong analytics and results for your shareholders. So now you've invested some time and resources in collecting this information, and now what are you going to do? I love this quote, Sherlock Holmes. It is of the highest importance that in the art of detection to be able to recognize out of a number of facts which are incidental and which are vital. And I think that's the case with any information and research, if you will, that we're collecting information, is to understand what are the ones that are really important and what are the nice to haves are really not going to lead you anywhere. And that's really in any situation when it comes to research, whether it's competitive, whether it's market, whether it's consumers, whatever it happens to be. You think about how to dig deeper into this, and that's really setting up some kind of a framework that allows you to understand what you're after. So when you're analyzing this data, think about the issues, the trends, the external factors, the market dynamics. You've heard me talk about that before. What are the market dynamics that can have an impact on what you're doing? Now, remember that competitive intelligence is not just about the competitors, right? It's about understanding the ever-changing business environment, using the knowledge to make effective business decisions. Think about that statement. Remember, competitive intelligence is not just about competitors, but about understanding the ever-changing business environment and using this knowledge to make effective decisions. And I think that's the case with any market research. You really need to understand that aspect of it. So I want to thank you for joining me today at the Business Growth Cafe, where we talked about competition. And if you go to my website, theponzigroup.com, I have an ebook there, actually a few ebooks, and one particularly on this topic of establishing a competitive intelligence program. And I encourage you to download it and read it. And after you have that opportunity to do that, I'd love for you to go on my site, book an appointment, give me a call. Let's continue this conversation about establishing a competitive intelligence program. I want to thank you again for joining us at the cafe today. If you want to find out more about establishing a competitive intelligence program, like I said, please go to my website and download this ebook. You can find out more about me and read my blogs and view my show videos at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is in need of a CMO, but you're not ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd love to continue the conversation about what the benefits are about using a fractional CMO. And I encourage you to subscribe to this show at the Business Growth Cafe. And we are now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spreaker, and other platforms around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.